everybody. In this Elder Law interview, we are joined by Jackie Collins. He is the founder of Elder Law Connection. And this is an organization that provides personalized coaching for attorneys transitioning into elder law. And their coaching program is different because it does provide a hands-on, in-person coaching services that helps attorneys develop a tailored marketing strategy and a business model along with back office support. So their services really do provide that gap between what we can provide at Krauss Financial in introducing new attorneys to the concepts of Medicaid planning, how to get your client qualified for Medicaid, to developing that business side approach, that marketing side approach, getting those clients in the door, and they'll really work with you one-on-one to be able to do that. So I wanted to talk to Jackie because he's the only person I know that really goes in to that level of detail with each one of the attorneys that he coaches. So please join me on this Elder Law interview as I talk to Jackie about his approach and how they've been able to help attorneys make that transition into elder law effectively. Before we get started, Jackie, on how you've kind of developed that, why don't you start by introducing yourself and sharing a little bit about your background and kind of where you are now with your law practice and how you kind of launched into this coaching program.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. My name's Jackie Collins. Absolutely no relation to the 1980s romance novelist. if you're familiar with her work. So just to clear the air there. But yes, I founded Elder Law Connection several years ago. But when I first got started, I was a solo attorney, Collins Law Office. It's now Collins and Cruz Law Office for the last almost 5 years now. But when I first started, it was very bumpy road. Actually, when I first started, I took any case I'd walk in the door, and that wasn't fun. I ran into someone that I knew in a different part of the state that did elder law and VA benefits in particular, and that's where I really first sank my teeth into was VA benefits, aid and attendance in particular. Just doing that, it gradually expanded to Medicaid and kind of took off from there. But it was hard starting up at first. This is why I started Elder Law Connection. You know, it was 9 months before I got my first case that wasn't a family member. The first few years were up and down the revenue roller coaster, as people talk about. Lots of wasted money signing up for marketing or paying for this type of presentation or sending out mailers that cost lots of money and running a room that cost lots of money that didn't turn out to anything. So I kind of learned the hard way. And that's one of the reasons why I started Elder Law Connection, so other people wouldn't have to.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like what you would like to do is kind of help attorneys skip that initial part where I know when I started my law practice, we were grasping at straws, just like you said. Anyone that would come in, we were glad to have them in the office rather than having, you know, targeted the type of client that we were looking for and being able to get those folks in the door that are – I've heard in different programs use A client, B client, C client, D client. We were getting in those C and D clients rather than any of the A clients. Like you said, it took about 9 months to a year to kind of figure out how do I get myself in front of the right people that I'm looking for and getting them the right message. So it kind of sounds like with your program, before we get into the nitty gritty of it, you really want to help kind of fast forward that part. Do I have that right?
Yes, especially, you know, if you're a new attorney. You know, you got, 6 months before those student loan payments kick in? And you want to start in this area? I don't know. When I went to law school, there's no elder law course at all. I don't know if there is now. I'm sure some law schools, I would hope, have one. All you had is estates and trusts were this mega course that was boring. so that's the part we kind of refresh. What does law school not teach you about? That stuff, and mostly just drumming up business. How do you get business in the door? And like I, you know, for a new person, you want to start making money as quickly as possible because you want to be able to live.
Right.
And then, you know, for established attorneys, if you're trying to, I talk to a lot of attorneys from family law, and I talk to a lot of attorneys that were in criminal law, and they just can't stand their practice area anymore, and they want to transition over. And if we're able to get that burden off your shoulders faster, I think it's more than worth it.
And when you're talking to those criminal and family law attorneys, what's What's kind of the wisdom that you would impart? Let's say one of them is watching this now. What's the difference between that type of practice and an elder law practice that maybe they haven't considered?
At least the way I set up my personal practice is it's all fixed prices. We're not dealing with hourly. The only thing we do hourly is probate, and we don't do a ton of probate. And the probate we do is for existing clients, so it's pretty easy because we drafted all the documents,
right,
and we're familiar with the family. So there's no real deadlines, I would say. Medicaid has deadlines, but if something's taking longer, it's a simple phone call away from asking for an extension. It's not like you're going to get pulled into chamber and admonished for missing a deadline or something like that.
Right.
You're not worried about your hourly billing, or, you know, you're not dealing with animosity. The thing I didn't like about in the one family law case I did, both sides hated each other,
right,
but they had to come to an agreement in the middle. So each side thought they were getting screwed, and my own client was like, you know, didn't like me very much because they thought they should have got everything. I'm like, well, that's not how it works. And if you're tired of that, I don't have the mindset of a litigator, so I don't have to do that. I'm not drafting memos. I'm not writing responses. I'm not doing, depositions or anything like that. I never wanted to do that, and I don't have to. I never do. You can work minimal hours. When I say minimal, if you set up the system, especially like we do, where we meet with clients and do marketing, and you have a good set of paralegals or at least a back office support system, that's, you move the case on and it's on them, and you manage the case. I hate to use football analogies, but like a quarterback, you hand it off and you're there for help if they need it or if there's issues arise. But other than that, we work 30 to 40 hours a week, some weeks, sometimes more, sometimes less. I take vacations. Our office is closed on Fridays in the summer. I don't know. It's great. A lot less stress is kind of what I'm
saying. Yeah, and I think another element of when I talk to the same attorneys, you control your own calendar, and it sounds like that's a big part of what you're saying. Whereas with those litigation or, with criminal defense or criminal prosecution, you're really at the court's calendar. They're setting those deadlines. They're setting those trials. And if you had something planned, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I have a time template for my week, and our office manager knows, okay, I see clients on these times on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This time, Thursdays are marketing days. Tuesday morning, I go out and do marketing, or I have to do administrative stuff. But other than that, those are the only time I'll see clients. And with my kids being younger, I'm able to volunteer to coach. I pick them up from school someday. They get off school at 3, so I'm leaving work at 2:50 to pick them up and take them to activities, and I'm able to do that. So it makes life a lot easier, takes the stress off my wife from having to run everybody around. I can contribute on those nights of the week because I can set my calendar. Like, oh, I can't see anybody after 2:30 on Wednesdays because there's a 3:15 practice for some odd reason.
Yeah.
And a 3:45 practice across town, so you can't, it's great.
Yeah. And, that's when I'm helping attorneys make that transition, that's a big reason and a motivation for it. So, that was a little plug on elder law as a practice area, but, as you're talking to attorneys that are considering your coaching skills, I know you want to make sure they're successful, and not every attorney, I don't say has what it takes to be an elder law attorney, because you can learn, any attorney can learn the skills. But when you're investing into coaching with your time, your money, what do you talk to when you talk about attorneys that are considering working with you? What's the type of thing you're looking for, a good fit to kind of get into this practice area and have you help them kind of coach them through, that rough patch that the most attorneys do when they're transitioning into a new practice area?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have discovery calls. My goal for elder law connections get around 8 clients a year. So it's not very many, not even one a month. Because we have so much more hands-on assistance, it takes up a lot more time. We can do more than 8, probably no problem at all. But right now that's kind of my sweet spot. Because it's a lot of people that reach out when we talk, I realize they're not going to be a good fit. They may not have the personality. We find out their why. Why are you transitioning this? Are you just hoping it's a big payday because you hear about the silver tsunami coming with all the boomers retiring and going into assisted living and all that? That's not, if that's your only reason, that's not a great reason. If it is a reason, we need someone that's willing to get out of the office, especially at first. You need to be out of the office more than in it at first. drumming up business, using our marketing strategies, talking to these referral sources every day. Because if they're already referring to someone and you're sitting there, you know, this is how I started getting business. Actually, the very first client I got from a referral source, I walked into a building and I walked in at the end of the screaming. A family had gone in there screaming at the executive director of this assisted living community and the marketing director because they had referred to an attorney who kind of screwed them over, to say the least, say the very least. And then I literally walk in as the family was shouting, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So I sat there, and they could have just told me to, you know, get out of here. I don't want to talk to another attorney again. But I told them, they're like, well, what went wrong here? And we analyzed the situation. We called the family. I ended up helping that family for free because they got, I call it, scammed out of their fee, and I felt bad, and I was trying to build rapport, and it wasn't a ton of work to do it the right way. And then that building, and then they went, they had four sister buildings in the area, and then they all started referring to me all at the same time. And that's when it finally took off. So you got to get out of the office.
Yeah. When you're saying get out of the office, you're talking go meet with new potential referral sources.
Mm-hmm. Join networking groups.
Yeah. What else?
Like in Columbus, Ohio, there's a lot of healthcare and marketing networking groups, people that refer clients to each other. It's not just BMI or Gold Star or those type of business where you have a realtor and you have this. Those are okay. I joined three of those and I wasted lots of money. I wasted way more money than I ever got in return. So I don't recommend those. Especially nowadays, most places have very niche marketing groups.
Yeah, I know. I've looked at here in the Denver area, the senior services groups. There's so many of them, they split them. That now they do quadrants of the city.
Exactly. Same here.
Yeah.
And we go to all of them because we cover the entire state of Ohio. Obviously mostly in Columbus, but we go all over. I have an office in Northwest Ohio, my hometown. You got to be able to get out of the office. You got to be comfortable public speaking because you're going to have to give presentations. You've got to educate people on this. When they're going through a Medicaid crisis, someone's going to the nursing home, I'd say 90% of the people I'm talking to, they've never done this. They don't know the rules. They don't know anything. If you're going out and giving presentations about just regular estate planning as well as Medicaid, everyone you talk to, maybe they're not going through a crisis now, but when they do, they're going to remember you. They're going to keep your brochure or folder you give them. If you're kind of co-marketing with the assisted living community, you come in there and educate their client. Like, hey, before you run out of money, you need to talk to someone so the building doesn't get, you know, 6 months without payment while they're waiting for Medicaid, things like that. And you really just have to, we analyze your market. What's your competition? Do you have assisted living places that, you know, my hometown went from three buildings that take Medicaid and assisted living down to zero for about 18 months, 24 months. And now one building just reopened that takes it. So, you know, people there had to go an hour away to find a place if they didn't have any money. So we look at your market. And then the biggest thing is you're willing to commit time. And this usually runs into people with existing practices where they go, yes, I hate family law. I hate criminal law. I hate personal injury. I can't do it anymore. But obviously you might have a family. You got to pay your bills. So they you know, I'm going to commit 90% of my time to my current practice and give 10% to this elder law. I'm like, at some point you got to flip the switch. Even when I got started, I had a non-legal job when I went out on my own inspecting homes for insurance companies. So I'd drive around bad areas of different cities. I'd get the routes nobody wanted. I was afloat. So I'd drive to Indianapolis. I'd drive to Detroit. I'd drive to Cincinnati. Columbus was local, all the way down to Louisville, as far north as the UP. And I was doing that. And during my breaks, I would work on my practice. And at some point, you know, I had a few clients. I was like, I can't keep doing both. We just have to make it work somehow. So you got to be able to commit the time to do it. Because if you pay me to do this and we're doing all this, you're like, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. It's like, no, you got to get to it today. Or there won't be a tomorrow. And this would be one more thing you threw money at and it doesn't work. So we just really got to fill out their commitment. And I understand that, you know, if you have current cases, you got a docket you have to settle, which, you know, limiting new cases while trying to get some elder law cases.
Yeah, I know in my experience, it's been that let's bring one down, bring the other one up. It's real tempting just to take on, you know, that next family law case because I have to make payroll. And now I'm stuck in this mediation, and now I'm just pushing the can down the road. And especially if you're in a coaching type situation where you're using resources and time, you're just delaying your success by doing that. And it's, I get it. I understand, like you said, you got to pay bills, but being able to make a transition to a new practice area does take that time, that effort. And I like that point that you made, getting out of your comfort zone, being able to speak in public, meeting new people, going into a building maybe you don't know anybody in like you did, and being able to take that step forward. I know there's attorneys that love doing legal research, doing appellate work, you know, doing that type of work. This probably isn't a great fit for them, whereas an attorney that wants to get out, kind of be more part of the community, be part of those groups, kind of be more of a social type attorney, being out there and not just going to court every day. That's kind of a personality thing, and I'm sure that you've run in to folks where that works and where it doesn't. But I think that's an important part of figuring out, is that the type of attorney you want to be? I know I've worked with people, they said they wanted to get into elder law. They had their first case, and they said, you know what? I don't really like working with older people. They're too slow.
Yeah.
I like working with corporate CEOs and that type. And they said, I said, okay, this isn't a good fit. We know that now, and let's not spend any more money on it.
Yeah, that's a great point. I love working with older people. It's great to hear their story, where they've come from, where they might be going, and making sure they don't get taken advantage of. It's just, it's great.
Okay, so you talked a little bit about kind of your approach to coaching. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of get into it a little bit so people can know what to expect if they do decide to work with you or kind of get into your coaching program. I know that when we have talked before, you kind of talked about your approach as kind of left seat, right seat, that you kind of implemented from your days in the military. Can you talk a little bit about how that works and how that's more of a hands-on type program than maybe some of the other coaching, legal coaching programs that are out there?
Yeah, I noticed, from when I got started and to now, a lot of the coaching programs are come to a seminar, pay all this money, and then you leave and you're kind of on your own. Or you're just taking, you're paying for access to online videos. It's great. You can watch anytime and you might have some support, but basically you're on your own to develop everything. They might give you some tools, but again, you're on your own. And then left seat, right seat, I was a field artillery officer for 6 years in the Army. And when you're getting deployed somewhere, you would just have something called a left seat, right seat. So you'd send an advance party from your unit and you'd sit in the right seat. And the person would drive you around, show you your territory, whatever, all their responsibilities. At some point, while you're there as advanced party, they switch you to the left seat and they move to the right seat. And they watch you do it and make sure you're doing it correctly and point out different things that they might have noticed just spewing information. So that's kind of where I go. I'm like, you know, I learn better in person talking to someone weekly where I can ask them questions or like, hey, what do you think of this presentation? Or what do you think of this business partnership opportunity or this marketing company or whatever it might be? So that's what I do. You know, we do some education, but that's where Krauss comes into play, you know, doing Medicaid education and things like that. We can do that. We can give you some materials. We help you out there, but we're trying to build your business model as quickly as possible. So we'll have phone calls, we'll create a tentative business plan, you'll tell me the buildings in your area, your competition, a few other guidelines, we'll have you put them in an Excel spreadsheet or whatever, or something. And then you'll come to our office for 3 or 4 days. During that time you're here, usually it's 3 days, we're going to make sure you sit in on our consultation. Several consultations is the goal. So you see how it is to talk to clients and use the resources we provide you. We provide you with intake forms and different sorts of paperwork so you can illustrate for them in real time and write down in front of them so it's more interactive and not you just spewing information at them, which is kind of a turnoff for more people. We have you come to a presentation, hopefully two, but it's usually just a presentation to see what it's like to get up in front of them. People to see what it's like if somebody is heckling you, believe it or not, that happens from time to time, and how to respond respectfully. Those types of things that we talk about. I give you the slides for presentation, so we just have to modify them for your state of practice and for you. You know, what is your why, your background, those types of things. But I give you the slides to use. We go over it together. We change the background colors to match your your brochure and things. I give you brochures. I can give you the business card format. And we do all that here in person. Again, consultations, presentation. We try to take you to a few marketing events. You know, I have a marketer now. You'll see what it's like to go to a networking event, to go to the local hospital meeting that meets with discharge planners or whatever, all those things. And then you go back, you refine your marketing strategy based on what you learned here. And then I come to you for 3 days. And then the first couple of days, you go, hey, this is my biggest prospect, or this is the one I want you to go to. And we go together and you do most of the talking and I talk you up. And then, you know, day and a half later, I sit next to you and you do all the talking. And I'm kind of there for moral support. Or if they ask a big complicated question, I can help answer it. So you're not there saying, oh, I'll have to look that up for everything they ask. Because you're going to have to look most of the stuff up until you learn it all. Or even if you probably read it and heard about it, but it's such a niche area and complex area that a lot of the things I still tell people, I need to look that one up. I'm not sure. It's been 2 years since we've had that happen. So that's kind of our left seat, right seat strategy. You know, we also go over, while you're in the office, we'll go over pros and cons of different office procedures and processes. You know, paid consultation versus free. You know, what is your timeline? How are you moving through your system, your pipeline? You know, from referral to answering the phone to getting them in the seats to the follow-up to make sure they sign up. You know, how do we get your closing rate up to 95%, 98%?
Yeah, those business processes, it sounds like you're really helping. That I was just going to hone in on that. The person that the attorney is trying to convert to a client, with your coaching, you're really helping that attorney walk them through each stage of that process, from stranger to maybe somebody that comes to a marketing event, signing them up as a client, getting their information, pushing them through the office, getting your business procedures in place. And then how do you help them when it comes time to actually make a Medicaid application? I know those are a lot of attorneys have a lot of stress about, okay, I've done all the planning, I'm comfortable with that, but now I have to do an application and now I have to follow through with that. And I know that can vary state to state. How do you help attorneys right. kind of get over that, you know, that initial fear of submitting an actual Medicaid application and making sure they're available for the follow-up?
We work with them on their first few applications. So whatever they paid us, we stay with them. So I should back up. Elder Law Connection is a coaching service, but it also offers back office support. So there are attorneys here in Ohio, New York, Indiana, that do not want to process their own Medicaid applications, whether they're a solo attorney and they don't want to staff, they like just coming marketing and doing client meetings. They follow up and they get them to sign up and then they'll do the legal work in their state, the powers of attorney, all that stuff. They're comfortable with that. But the Medicaid application can be done by anyone. There's lots of third-party non-attorney businesses that process applications. But that's where you outsource that to us. And for people that want to do it eventually, we work with them. It's like, okay, we're submitting this form because of A and B or whatever. For people that just want to remain solo or have a small staff, they can use our back office for the rest of their time. So it's really up to them. If they want to learn how to do it themselves, then we will do the first free cases at no charge until they make back in revenue what they paid us.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about how your services are structured. Can you kind of go through that on what it would cost for someone to get into that, not specific numbers necessarily, but kind of how you structure that. And I know you just talked about your first few cases you'll work with, but kind of how you structured that for the attorneys.
Yeah, the whole coaching service is around $15,000, depending on how much of the different things you might want when we're talking through them, discovery calls. If you're already situated and you've done some elder law before and you really just need to get over the hump, it might be less. It should never be more, though, unless you really want a lot of extra support to get going for whatever reason, which we haven't had happen yet, but I thought about what if. So that's how that's structured. And then we help you with your fee structure. It's ultimately up to you to set your own fees, what you charge for a trust, what you charge for your will packages, what you charge for a Medicaid application. And once you make $15,000 of revenue, you know, you've made your money back, and then our back office services would kick in. And then we charge, it just depends, because we have some attorneys that do a lot of the legwork for us, meaning they track down all the documents, they do all of that. And we have some attorneys like, I'm just going to hand the family off to you, and okay. You can ask them if they got that bank statement every day. I don't want to do that. So then it's a different cost, usually between $3,500 or $7,500, depending on the scope of work you want us to do.
Gotcha.
And if you don't want to be responsible for answering the phone every single day and you want us to be the primary point of contact, and then some people are like, no, I don't want the family to contact you at all. I'm going to gather everything. If they have any questions, I'll relay them to you. You just process the application for me and deal with the state.
So you can work that back office stuff based on how the attorney wants to interact with their clients, if they want to be the point person or not.
Right. Yeah. So I enjoy being the point person. I like that.
Sure.
Then I have a firmer grip on where we're at in the process of their case. Oh, we're still waiting on some insurance paperwork. We need to call them every other day or every 3 days or whatever the deadline is. They're supposed to get the paperwork and, just add the reminder to your calendar, type of a thing. Some people are good at that. Some people aren't. Our back office staff is really good at that. They probably get 30 reminders a day of what they have to do. So,
and then coming back to the coaching, there's a flat fee. And then what we've kind of talked about is they'll come out, meet with you, kind of see how your office works. You'll go out to them, see how their office works. And then you work with them after those initial sessions through their first, did you say three cases or a few cases, or how is that kind of scope laid out?
I would say at least two cases. It depends on what they're charging people. Everybody charges something different based on their, where they're at, what the market rate would be in their area, I guess. But once you hit 15,000, then typically we move you to the back office. And we work with people that were still like uneasy, where we just, they'll call and ask a few questions. We don't charge them full price or sometimes at all.
So it's that, more based on making back that initial investment rather than how many cases it is.
Yeah, and we'll work, it's, make back your initial investment or up to like 18 months, 2 years-ish of time, because we have to have an end date in case someone's just not going out and doing the work. We can't just stick with them forever.
Yeah, like we talked about, they're not doing that inverse or changing their ratio of cases that are coming in.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. And then I can stay on and do, I guess, coaching calls and stuff with people too after the fact, if needed to.
Well, thanks so much, Jackie. I think this coaching program is totally different than anything that I have ever seen or worked in. To your point, a lot of what we can do at Krause is really introduce you to the rules in your state, get you comfortable with the concepts of crisis planning and Medicaid planning and proactive Medicaid planning. But when it comes to getting your business processes in place, I really commend you on putting together something that is really hands-on and very helpful for attorneys to get over a lot of the concern that attorneys have and a lot of the stress they have when they talk to me about transitioning over. It's that I need to get my business model in place. I don't know how to meet with people. I don't know how to build those referral sources. What do I do to submit the application? What if they have a follow-up call? I don't know any of this stuff. I'm brand new to it. How, Jim, can you help me? And I always say, you're going to have to co-counsel with somebody. And this is, for lack of a better term, co-counseling on steroids, with somebody there to hold your hand through that. And then with your back office support to provide that support into the future, once you've gotten, once that coaching kind of time frame is over, and now you can move into where you're kind of cranking and you just want help, or if you want to hire your own staff and you don't need the back office support, you wouldn't obviously need that. Is there anything else you'd want to share with folks about what you're doing at Elder Law Connections that we haven't covered?
We try really hard to get people going. If you're willing to put in the work, we'll do anything we can to get you going. I think it's obviously it's a growing need. People are trying to get into it every day, but all it takes is one mistake for the word to get out to not go to you type of a thing. The health, the assisted living nursing home world is small. Even in like Columbus has 2 million people in its metro area. But I see the same marketers at every event. I see some of the same attorneys going around. So it's a small world. So if you make a mistake, it gets out. And you're going to make a mistake. The trick is not not to make it a critical career ending mistake.
Right.
And I've seen that before. So, and that's just knowing to know that you don't know everything. You shouldn't guess. And just if, and to have somebody to reach out to you to double to ask. I was fortunate. I think I put on the Ohio State Bar Association listserv a question, and a very seasoned attorney up in the Cleveland area reached out to me. It's like, hey, and explained the situation to me. And then it just goes, hey, if you ever need question, you know, I know you barely have done, I've done like two cases up to that point. Just call me. And for the next 6 months, I'd call her about once a week. She'd tell me, no, don't do it this way, do it that way. And that's all I really needed to get over the hump.
Yeah.
And without her, I don't know if I'd be where her, or there's another guy in Cleveland that helped too. Without either of them, I don't know if I'd have gotten this far, because I would have just got scared over my first screw up, like, oh, they're going to put me in prison. No, you know, yeah, most of the mistakes are minor. You know, you submitted the wrong months that they asked for of statements, and none of that's what it's great about this type of law. Most everything is fixable before it becomes a permanent career ending screw up. If you're trying to do right by the client.
Yeah. And that's awesome that you have kind of build this business to help attorneys with that, because that can be a very difficult thing. You know, you were lucky to find two attorneys to help you out. And I always say elder law is a great practice area. People are very nice, but being able to find that relationship in a way that makes sense to both parties, can be difficult, in figuring that out. Obviously you found two great attorneys to help you out, but that's not always the case. So, I really appreciate you, Jackie. I appreciate your time. And, we look forward to, hopefully helping attorneys that are looking for that help, get with you and be able to grow their practice. And our goal here at Cross Financial is always to help attorneys get into this practice area, help their communities, make sure that the folks in your community are getting the care they need and they're able to pay for it. So, thanks so much, Jackie. I really appreciate it. You're doing a great job, and, look forward to working with you in the future.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for having me again. Take care.